So as Phil said this morning, we're returning to this series in Luke entitled All About Jesus. Now, if you haven't been with us in previous weeks, then panic not, because I'm pretty sure there's something in this passage for everyone. Last time out at the end of March, we looked at the genealogy of Jesus, and praise God that we're not on that today, because there's lots of difficult names. We're going to be looking at the temptation of Jesus in Luke 4. The importance of the temptation scene here in this chapter cannot be overstated. It's a showdown between Jesus and the devil, between good and evil. It's the biggest heavyweight contest ever between two real contenders. If Jesus loses, then everything is lost and the devil succeeds. If Jesus loses, the hope for humanity is gone, because we need a savior. We need a savior to save us from our sins and to redeem us back to God. And in our passage, the devil is bringing this full-scale assault on Jesus. A full-scale assault, using temptation as his most potent weapon. You see, temptation is a powerful influence in our lives. Now, I don't know how the devil tempts you, but we all face temptation daily. And in our passage this morning, we'll see how Jesus faced the devil's temptation. And not only will we see how he faced it, but how he conquered it too. Before we look at these temptations, let's just turn back to the first couple of verses in the passage. They read, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them, he was hungry. So Luke begins the narrative by emphasizing the human nature of Jesus. Look there at verse 1. Luke mentions that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert. Let's be clear. The desert was a harsh place. Jesus was in a real time of distress. You know, he's not sitting with his disciples or enjoying time with his family. He's alone. He's in the desert. He's fasting. And he's hungry. This is not a good time. And because it's not a good time, we shouldn't be surprised that the devil is there with him. You see, the devil throws his temptations at us when we are vulnerable. And this is exactly what he's doing to Jesus in our passage. So we need to be mindful that the conditions here are not ideal. This is not like when the devil came to Adam and Eve in the garden. The Garden of Eden was a place of paradise, a place of perfection. This place, the desert, is far from perfection. It's no paradise. Jesus is in the desert. He's been fasting, and now he's hungry. And another thing we need to be mindful of here is the timing. Notice Luke's account gives us a little more detail than the one that Matthew wrote. He tells us Jesus has not been fasting for 40 days before the devil then shows up. No, the devil was there for the duration of those 40 days tempting him. And during those 40 days, Jesus ate nothing and at the end of them was hungry. For 40 days, the devil threw all that he had at Jesus. He hounded him daily. For 40 days, he caused Jesus problems and never left him alone. Over and over again, he tempted Jesus. Jesus had to endure so much. And during these days of temptation, three specific temptations were recorded. In the moments that we've got left, let's just look at these. Now, all week I've been tossing and turning as to, can I find an inspirational title for the first point this morning? I think I've achieved it. Introduction. Temptation number one. Check that out. I can see, Adam, your mind is blown by that. In the first temptation, the devil questions God's provision and care. The devil says, if you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread. Because as the Son of God, surely God doesn't want you to starve in the desert. The devil is not doubting who Jesus is. He knows that Jesus is the Son of God. But what the devil is doing here is he's using that truth at his point of attack. The devil knows that Jesus has been without food for 40 days. Surely God doesn't want Jesus to starve. So Jesus should meet his own need. Because the devil knows that Jesus has the power to provide himself food when he wants. But the food is not the temptation here. The temptation is for Jesus to act independently of God. This temptation is about Jesus no longer depending on God's provision and care. I guess the devil is simply saying to Jesus, look out for yourself. Don't trust in God. He's suggesting that God has abandoned him. And as a result, Jesus needs to look out for himself. Sadly, you know, we are tempted by the devil in just the same way. Nobody likes to starve. Nobody likes to suffer. But sometimes we have to. Sometimes hardship and suffering can be all part of God's plan for our lives. The problem is, when that hardship comes, we tend to want to fix the problems ourselves. We often are tempted to take matters into our own hands and do our own things. The devil wants to convince us that, he wants to convince us all that when we're suffering, God is nowhere. The devil tells us that God won't provide for us. God won't take care of us. And sadly, the reality is that many of us believe this. Some may even admit to it. And as a result, we give up on relying on God. We think we can't trust God to provide. And when this happens, the devil kind of just, I guess, smirks and rubs his hands together with glee. But what does Jesus do in the passage? How does he respond? Look there at verse 4. His response is really important. Jesus is not tempted. Although he has the power to turn stones into bread, he refuses to do it. Look what he says. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 and verse 4. There he says, man does not live by bread alone. And the context of this quotation is Moses calling on the people of Israel. He calls on the people of Israel to depend on God's faithfulness to provide. Let's just consider that meaning of Deuteronomy 8, verse 3 for a moment. Life is defined by doing God's will and depending on God. It's not defined by personal satisfaction or living independently. I guess in the language of today, life is not about the physical, but the spiritual. We fall into the same trap as the people of Israel back in the desert. They repeatedly did not trust God to provide for them. They complained about the food and water on the way to the promised land. You know, to many, the physical life is everything. It's all about the here and now. I guess the temptation the devil presents is, you're going to die here in the desert. If you don't eat, you will starve. If you starve, you will die. Feed yourself. Jesus responds that the word of God is life. Spiritual life is what matters most. When things are falling apart in this life, we need to realize something. We need to realize that our life does not consist of this world. Life is in God, not the things of this world. Jesus is telling the devil that his hunger is not important. It doesn't matter. The word of God is what matters. Therefore, we need to look at God and trust. We need to trust his provision and care. That is what life is all about. Satisfying our physical desires is not as important as trusting and obeying God. That is what Jesus did. He rejected the devil's attempts to influence him. Instead, Jesus chose to trust and obey God rather than seek an easier path. Now, the devil could so easily have walked away at this point, but he's persistent. So he tries to tempt Jesus a second time. Yep, you're going to be blown away again. Temptation number two. It took me hours to come up with these. The second temptation is an attempt to get Jesus to abandon his loyalty to God. Within it, the devil offers Jesus a shortcut. We all like shortcuts. Look what he does in verses 5 through to 8. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, It will all be yours. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So Jesus can leave behind the rejection and the suffering that is going to come. And instead, he can instantly have all authority over the kingdoms of the world. Why wait to become the promised king? Why go through the pain and the suffering? Again, the devil is not questioning if Jesus is really the Son of God. He's saying, surely the Son of God shouldn't have to suffer to receive the kingdoms in power. Take a shortcut. Avoid the pain. Worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms. How powerful this temptation must have been. Jesus could avoid the suffering and become king. Have an easier, more comfortable life. Abandon your loyalty to God. This temptation is a powerful one. Why? Because we easily surrender to it. We all want an easier, more comfortable life. We live our lives in convenience, don't we? Nowadays, you can pretty much do everything from your sofa. You can do your groceries. You can order a takeaway. You can book a holiday, buy a car, order gifts, play some games, do your banking. You can just kind of watch the whole world go by. And so as a result, our loyalty is often to ourselves, not to God. We worship other things. Why wait when you can have what you want now? That was the test here. The devil tells Jesus what he can offer him here and now. No waiting around. He says that the authority of the nations has been given to him. And as a result, he can give that authority to Jesus right away. Now, some of you may be thinking, well, the devil doesn't have this authority. He does. He's not lying when he makes this offer. If he was, it wouldn't be a temptation. Pastor Phil can't say to me, Ben, you know what? You leave God behind and I'll give you £1 million. That can't happen because I know Phil hasn't got £1 million to give me. If the devil can't fulfill this offer, then it wouldn't have been a temptation to Jesus. Jesus would simply have just responded with something like, well, you don't have that power. But this is a powerful temptation because the devil could give these things. So the devil offering Jesus the chance to have the glory and avoid the cross. That's what he did. Let me just share John 12:31 with you to help perhaps explain. It reads in that verse, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world, that's Satan, the devil, will be driven out. The devil is sometimes called the ruler of this world. He is the prince. We need to get it into our heads that the devil has power in this world. That's the reason why things are the way they are. That's why the world is evil. That's why there is suffering. That's why life is hard. The devil has authority here. The devil prowls around in this world like a lion looking for his prey. Now, how does Jesus respond to this second temptation of the devil in this passage? Well, look at verse 8 there. We read it. Jesus answered, it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. We should worship only God. We should only serve God and nothing else. You know, we think we must avoid suffering at all costs, but it doesn't work that way. We think that when we follow Jesus, that surely life just becomes easy for us. But when it doesn't work out that way, we become confused and perhaps bemused. But if this is our reaction, then when we're worshipping, this is our reaction if we're worshipping something other than God. God alone is worthy of our loyalty. Can't worship God as well as other things. You know, we can't worship our children by making sure they're always happy. We can't worship our children by giving them everything they want. You know, all too often we want to avoid the struggles of life that comes from serving God. As a result, we worship other things. We put other things ahead of God. You know, we think our health is the most important thing and we idolize our lifestyles. We can't just say God is our number one and have all these other idols in life. Now, before you say, but what about our family, Ben? Well, we're called to love our families. We love our families because it's part of what's meant for God to be number one. God is number one, and that is it. Everything we do in life should be for God. You know, we're called in Romans 12, verse 1, to offer our bodies as a living sacrifice to God. Why? Because it's true and proper worship. Conforming to this world is not. God alone is worthy of our loyalty. We must have no other gods or idols. You know, if we're called to suffer, then so be it. We must worship God in our suffering. If we're called to poverty, then so be it. We must worship God in our poverty. You know, and if we're called to lose our family, then so be it. We must worship God in our loss. Even if the roads of life are difficult, we must still serve God and God alone. This is the mentality we need to, it's the mentality that we need to fight the devil's temptation to worship others. You know, we need not worry about the now. It's what's to come in the end which counts. So with still no success, the devil moves on to tempt Jesus for a third time. Temptation number three. Look there at verses 9 through to 13. The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. If you are the Son of God, he said, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. When the devil had finished all his tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Now here, the devil uses the scriptures to intensify the temptation. Once again, the devil's not questioning if Jesus is the Son of God. This time he wants to challenge Jesus and his relationship with God. So in verse 9, he says he has Jesus stand on the highest point of the temple. After this, he tells Jesus to throw himself down from the top. Why? Because God protects his own and would therefore protect his son. Now, the devil uses the scriptures here to try to deceive Jesus. He does this with us. The scriptures can be misapplied. They can be twisted. They can be used to justify doing something that is sinful. And sadly, that's what we see in some of our churches today. They twist God's written word and make it say what they want it to say. You know, the devil quotes from the Old Testament here. He tries to get Jesus to test God. He quotes from Psalm 91, verses 11 and 12. And taken out of context, it seems to suggest that God is obligated to protect Jesus from all harm, no matter what he does. But Jesus knows the scriptures far better than the devil does. And he responds by quoting Deuteronomy 6, 16. And we see that in verse 12. Jesus answered, it says, do not put the Lord your God to the test. The context of this quote concerns the Israelites again back in Exodus 17. They were reminded not to test the Lord after demanding water. You know, they lacked trust and instead resorted to constantly quarreling with Moses. Yet the Lord provided water from the rock when Moses struck it with his staff. You know, the lesson here is the same. Do not test God, but trust God. Trust in him. Jesus doesn't challenge God, and neither should we. God won't abandon us. We shouldn't need to kind of make a situation or create a situation that will need a need for God to act. God's word gives us the direction and the guidance we need for all situations. And Jesus knows this. Why? Well, because he knows and understands the scriptures. You know, we too must learn to know and understand the scriptures in the right context. Because here the devil quotes one Bible verse out of context and tries to use it. You know, we must never take a verse out of its context to try to understand it alone. You know, if we do that, then we'll make the Bible say anything we want. We must always study the scriptures in the context they were written. Jesus remained faithful to God's word. You know, we must be faithful in the same way. And the passage there concludes with a notification that the devil has not done yet. He's going to come back and try once again at another opportune time. And do you know what? It's the same with us. The devil is always on the prowl. He's always watching us. And he's waiting to strike against us the moment we show any weakness. He doesn't wait for when we're strong. He waits for when we're weak. Then he brings the force of his temptation against us. The devil is never done. He will never give up against us. You know, we must continue to fight against him. So, you know, as we draw to a close this morning, what can we take away with us? Well, there are three things here. I'll put them all up for you for now. Three things we can learn from the temptation of Jesus. Firstly, we must trust in God and his provision and care. Temptations often reveal our lack of trust in God. Do we trust God to get us through? Do we trust his provision and care? Life can only be found in God, not in the things of this world. The word of God is what matters. We need to trust in his promises. God satisfied the needs of the people in Israel. And do you know what? He'll satisfy our needs too. Satisfying our physical desires is not as important as trusting and obeying God. That is what Jesus did. He rejected the devil's attempt to influence him. Instead, Jesus chose to trust and obey God, his Father, rather than seek an easier path. You know, we must learn to do the same. We need to trust in God and in his provisions. Secondly, we need to worship God and God alone. We must serve only him. You know, temptations often reveal our lack of loyalty towards God. Will we be loyal to God even if we don't have material and physical wealth? Will we be loyal to God even if we must suffer? Will we put away our idols? You know, the devil seeks to test our loyalty, revealing where we're lacking in trust. We need to recognize where we fall to temptation, recognize the weakness. Then and only then can we look to develop trust in God in that area. Thirdly and finally, do not put God to the test. You know, the devil tries to misuse the scriptures to tempt us into sin. He wants us to test God, and he wants us to challenge his authority over us. You know, we need to know and learn the scriptures better in order to defeat him. We need to be faithful to God's word in the same way that Jesus was. Don't test God. Trust God. That's one of the key messages I'd love you to take home this morning. You know, temptation is a potent weapon the devil uses to try and defeat us. But he won't if we stick with Jesus. If we follow the example he sets, we must continually look to Jesus. We must put all our trust in our Lord Jesus. You know, we began this morning by saying to you, if Jesus loses, then everything is lost. If he loses, then the hope of humanity is gone and the devil has succeeded. But as we finish this morning, let me just assure you, Jesus didn't lose. The devil did not defeat him. And he won't defeat us either if we stick with Jesus. And you know, that's my prayer for you all this morning, that you'll trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.